This is The Guardian.
I'm Noor Haidar, coming to you from Gadigal land, and this is the full story.
I was in the room, not far from you, Mr. President. Could hear what sounded like gunshots or commotion. People nearby could smell the gunpowder. Everybody hit the floor. How worried were you that there were going to be injuries?
It was around 8:30 p.m. in Washington, D.C., when the annual White House Correspondents' Dinner was interrupted by gunfire.
I wasn't worried. I understand life. We live in a crazy world.
Inside the Hilton Hotel, as journalists dined with the president and his team, the alleged shooter, a 31-year-old man named Cole Thomas Allen, attempted to sprint through a security checkpoint. Authorities say he was armed with multiple guns and knives and had checked into the hotel a few days earlier as a guest. Investigators are still working to determine a motive, but a manifesto reportedly written by the suspect has been found.
In it, he writes this quote, "Administration officials, they are targets." And he also wrote this, "I'm no longer willing to permit a pedophile, rapist, and traitor to coat my hands with his crimes." What's your reaction
to
that?
Well, I was waiting for you to read that because I knew you would, because you're horrible people, horrible people. Yeah, he did write that. I'm not a rapist. I didn't rape anybody.
The Guardian's Washington, D.C. bureau chief, David Smith, was at the dinner as panic ripped through the crowd.
When it was happening, when I looked around, I did see, you know, fear written on the faces of some of the guests in that ballroom. I suppose my prevailing mood was more one of just sort of total confusion of what's happening here. And as a journalist, always at the back of your head, you're thinking, got to work out this story, got to find it as soon as possible.
Today, inside the ballroom where it happened. It's Monday, the 27th of April. David, welcome back to Full Story.
Hi, Noah. Great to be here.
The White House Correspondents' Dinner is a big annual event in Washington's social calendar. Can you describe what it's like inside that ballroom with some of the world's most powerful people and how the event started?
Yeah, this event has been going on for more than 100 years in Washington. It's a get-together of the president, administration officials, and the press, an interaction of the Washington elite, if you like, and has been criticized for that reason, that perhaps the media are getting too cozy with the government people that they're reporting on. I think it really took off in terms of Hollywood glamour during the Barack Obama presidency. All sorts of stars and celebrities showed up there. And at the Guardian table in that era, we had the likes of, you know, Carrie Fisher of Star Wars fame, Alan Rickman, the great actor. I believe when we invited Tom Hiddleston, the actor now seen in Marvel movies, that was the night he got together with Taylor Swift for a relationship that didn't last. But then, of course, as in so many other areas of life, when Barack Obama left office, was replaced by Donald Trump, everything changed. As president, he did not attend the dinner in his first term, and it felt a little bit flat and was no longer such a hot ticket. Joe Biden did speak there. And then, of course, last year, Trump was back in office. He did not attend. But in 2026, he was making his first appearance as president at the dinner. And it was a kind of full circle moment because 15 years earlier, he was a guest at the dinner when Barack Obama roasted him and mocked the idea of Trump becoming president one day. And there are some people who believe that planted the seed of Trump's political ambition.
The ballroom was packed with political and media elite. How did the evening start and when did the mood change?
Yeah, and this is the Washington Hilton Hotel, fairly central DC, a giant sort of concrete structure, not particularly attractive. And when you walk in, there are all sorts of parties and receptions happening around the hotel. And there's also hotel guests, just at the restaurants and cafes and so on. And of course, you know, lots of people wearing tuxedos or ball gowns, and you go down an escalator and you line up and you go through security, and then you're in this vast subterranean ballroom, contains more than 2,000 people. Very, very cramped. When you get to your table, you always sometimes struggle to pull out your chair. And things started very normally. Donald Trump came in to the strains of Hail to the Chief. He saluted as the national anthem was played. The Marine Band was there. The president of the White House Correspondents Association welcomed him, said it was meaningful for him to be there. Everything seemed perfectly calm and normal until around 40 minutes in, and that was the moment when everything changed.
And tell me what you saw, what you heard in that moment.
I heard some loud bangs towards the back of the ballroom. The initial reaction was one of confusion.
What the fuck is going on?
There was a very loud bang. We're not sure what it is.
Then time seemed to stand still, and then you saw people ducking for cover.
Get down.
It almost moved like a wave through the room.
Everyone is kind of hiding under the tables. The president has been, I think he may be under the table, he's taken out.
Table by table, people ducking, and at that moment, you don't know what's happening, but you think to yourself, well, if everyone else is taking cover, probably a good idea to do the same. And so I dived under the table, as did others around me.
And we're seeing officers with their guns drawn, pointing towards the area where the loud noise is. There's a lot of fear in here right now.
I saw some Secret Service men run through. They were going fast. They were sometimes stepping onto chairs, heading towards the main stage. And by the time I emerged to look at that main stage, Donald Trump, Melania Trump, Vice President J.D. Vance had been swept away. Very gradually, slowly but surely, a certain normality descended on the room again. People got back in their seats, started walking around. And then, of course, we later discovered there had been an assailant. He'd made a dash towards the ballroom doors. He'd actually shot a Secret Service agent who was protected by his body armor, and eventually he'd been apprehended and is now in custody.
David, before we talk about where the investigation is at, you've described quite chaotic scenes. How are you feeling today now that you've had some time to process what happened?
You sort of relive those moments, I suppose. Not least because people have been asking me about it, and I've been getting messages from, you know, family members in Britain and, you know, acquaintances, Britain and America and elsewhere, sort of, you know, how are you feeling? Are you doing okay? And certainly when it was happening, when I looked around, I did see, you know, fear written on the faces of some of the guests in that ballroom. I suppose my prevailing mood was more one of just sort of total confusion of what's happening here. And as a journalist, always at the back of your head, you're thinking, got to work out this story, got to file it as soon as possible. As the hours go on and I sort of replay that incident in my mind, I'm also reflecting on how it's kind of shocking and yet somehow weirdly inevitable and predictable in Donald Trump's America. We've seen so many of these horrifying dramas. You know, they keep coming at us. So it fits a pattern, drama all the time in the Trump era.
Mm. As you mentioned, David, the alleged shooter was tackled to the ground, arrested before he made it into the ballroom. What do we know about him?
Yeah, it's emerged that the suspect is named Cole Allen. He's 31 years old. He's from Torrance, California. A teacher. He has a background in computer science. I believe he's involved in making some video games. As Sunday wore on, Donald Trump claimed that Allen had written some kind of manifesto. There's some reporting that he made a very small donation to the Democrats, but it's obviously still very early in the investigation. He's going to, I think, appear in court on Monday. Perhaps we'll get a bit more information there. It is notable that he traveled from California to Washington by train, which is pretty unusual for someone to do in the US. And there's some speculation Maybe he did that to evade airport security because you can travel by train without metal detectors. And also notable that he actually checked into the Hilton Hotel as a guest, which would help him evade at least some of the layers of security, because every year this dinner takes place in a functioning hotel. You're sort of mingling with not regular hotel guests. They would obviously have fairly decent access.
Tell me more about that. What was security like at this event? Because after the first attempt on Trump's life back in 2024 in Pennsylvania, there was a lot of scrutiny and questions asked of the US Secret Service. Is that happening again?
Yes, I'd say most of the conversation on Sunday has been about, was this a security breach? Could more have been done? My own personal experience was I did find security actually slightly tighter than usual, and perhaps even tighter than when Joe Biden spoke. And by that, I mean, I was asked to show my ticket for the dinner even before I entered the hotel grounds. There's a major street outside where, by the way, there were some quite loud protests against the dinner even happening because of Trump's attacks on the media. Of course, there is also a line with airport-style metal detectors, and if you trigger those, then a member of the Secret Service has a wand and checks over your person and what objects you're carrying. However, all of that said, I know other attendees at the dinner over the last 12, 24 hours have been saying they found security quite lax, and there were moments when tickets were not checked or they could just sort of flash it very quickly. There's even a media report in the last few hours from the Washington Post suggesting that this event was treated as a lower priority for security than others involving the president. It's also notable this hotel is the scene of the attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan when he was president 45 years ago. He was shot and survived. Since then, the hotel has been fortified. One of its main selling points was it did seem to be secure. And obviously that has now been punctured, although you will also hear administration officials say, yes, but ultimately the system did work. This man was tackled. He did not get into the ballroom. He did not get his eyes on the president. Even if he had got past the people who stopped him, there were more guards actually at the doors of the ballroom.
David, you've alluded to this already, but Donald Trump and those around him have consistently pushed a might is right approach, both at home and abroad. How much does the normalization of violent speech and violent actions by the Trump administration feed and inflame political polarization and political violence?
Yeah, I think that's a big problem, and it's probably the underlying story here. At his impromptu press briefing at the White House on Saturday night, which was an extraordinary sight, you know, reporters in tuxedos and ball gowns and Trump himself in black tie. He talked about this being an occupational hazard of being president and suggested if you're a president who does big, important things, then it makes you a target. And maybe that's a small part of the story, but I think, you know, when one or two reporters raised the question of a culture of political violence with him, he kind of shrugged it off and suggested it was perhaps inevitable, but surely not. And I think it's no coincidence that the past decade that has seen the political ascent of Donald Trump has also seen a surge of political violence. Record numbers of members of Congress receiving threats, forced to hire private security, a whole string of incidents, an attack on a congressional baseball practice, two previous assassination attempts on Trump himself, Democratic state politician murdered, the right-wing activist Charlie Kirk murdered, and the white supremacist march in Charlottesville, Virginia, and just so many other incidents. This is a climate now, and I do think Donald Trump's rhetoric has played at least some part of that. Talked about, you know, police roughing up suspects to get what they need, sort of encouraged his own supporters to fight like hell at the Capitol on January the 6th, 2021, or suggested that protesters at rallies should be beaten up. To bring us up to date, I mean, right now you have his defense secretary, Pete Hegseth, using very hyper-masculine, fiery, gung-ho rhetoric about the war in Iran, just reveling in these words like lethality and punching Iran when it's down. And perhaps it's then no surprise it inculcates violence in a society already awash with guns.
At that same press conference, he also spruiked his controversial $400 million ballroom plans, which was jarring to hear given what had just transpired. How have people reacted to that?
Yeah, that was perhaps the one surprise. I think what we're always on alert for with these incidents, and it kind of relates to the previous question, is Donald Trump and his allies usually look for a scapegoat and often pour fuel on the flames. And so the classic go-to after an incident like this is to say, this person was a Democrat, this is a radical socialist, they're crazy on the left. And so far, at least, we haven't heard much of that. I mean, Trump did refer to the suspect as a nut job and talks about crazy people. But so far, he's not been apparently politicizing it and blaming the Democrats, because there's something perhaps even more important to him. He really has a passion project, an obsession right now with this White House ballroom. And so the strange way the Trump brain works, he saw an opportunity here. Oh, yeah, this is a security issue. Well, I can talk about how secure this new ballroom is going to be. You know, it's drone-proof, it's bulletproof, it's exactly what we need. Just one side note to that is that it's very, very unlikely that this particular event, the White House Correspondents' Dinner, would ever be held in such a ballroom, because the dinner is actually organized by the White House Correspondents' Association, not the White House itself. And I think it would be seen as blurring too many lines, too much of a compromise to have the White House as the host. A lot of people are wondering, why does Donald Trump talk about a ballroom when we're at war with Iran and prices for consumers are rising? But for students of Trump, perhaps not a surprise that he would use this latest incident as an excuse to talk about it.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that. Is this the kind of media distraction that Donald Trump would welcome, given his war on Iran has not gone to plan, negotiations are stalling, and he's facing pressure to end the war?
It is incredible, isn't it? Trump knows the agenda will always change. It's just a constant drama machine. And you know, just thinking back those couple of years to the 2024 election campaign, he had all sorts of problems. And then suddenly out of nowhere, someone tries to shoot him at a campaign rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. Suddenly there's this image of him, fist raised, bloodstained, shouting, fight, fight, fight. And again, here is an incident to certainly knock Iran off the front pages at a very fortuitous moment for Trump when peace talks were not happening. And you can tell Trump is getting bored of it. Trump wants to move on to other things. It's terrible for his poll ratings. And so no wonder he dashed to the White House last night and held a press briefing. You know, he understands that media agenda, that this is a great opportunity for him to even lavish praise on the press and say there was a beautiful reaction and talk about the solidarity and again, show himself to be a defiant, strong man. And there was already criticism of the media for hosting this dinner and what was the relationship going to be like with Trump. Some of those critics would say, again, the media are falling for it. They should hammer Iran. They should hammer immigration, all these other Trump issues, but they'll often chase the next shiny object.
We'll be right back.